Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We take a closer look at the apocalypse of Isaiah, and this is the good news portion. So I'm really surprised Pastor Perry isn't preaching this. Okay. What's really interesting, though, is we didn't know it was going to be Christ the King Sunday when we planned this. But this text is perfect for Christ the King Sunday. All right. So God's timing is always best. And the text talks about what God has done and what He's going to do, and praising Him for that, for what He's done in the past and what He's also going to do. Isaiah starts by saying, O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You and praise Your name. So he's talking about a covenant relationship here. And I love this. For in perfect faithfulness, God doesn't change like shifting shadows, okay? He's always faithful. But this points also to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, right? The Messiah. Remember, Jesus was perfectly obedient, even till death on a cross. Completely faithful to God. Imagine living your whole life completely faithful to God. Wow, I can't imagine living 10 minutes completely faithful to God, all right? You have done marvelous things. Things planned long ago. So nothing is by chance. And when we see Jesus, even when we see His crucifixion, it was all planned. From before the creation. All right? God knew. How amazing is that, huh? So our God is faithful, and He has everything, absolutely everything under control. Psalm 86:15, But You, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 100, For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 117, For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 147, He determines the numbers of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Isaiah 46, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Wow, kind of eliminates chance, huh? All right. Everything's under His control. Absolutely everything. All right? So who is like our God? Nobody. And that's what Isaiah is saying today. Who is like our God? There's nobody like our God. So do our lives seem out of control sometimes? Absolutely. Martin Luther writes, Here he describes the kingdom of Christ, which receives the poor, the needy, the afflicted, the weak, the weary, those whose lives are out of control. Of Christ their King, this is said. When He says that He has been sent to preach the good news to them, He is exalted. To them He says, Come to Me. To them He is gentle and merciful, but to kings and to the wise He is a terror. Jesus is always willing to help. Okay? He's always there for us. Okay? And when things are out of control, part of the problem is we're probably not looking to Him, all right? We're not looking to Him for answers. We're looking here. And believe me, there's no answers here, all right? I talked about that song when it was 20 years old. You remember the movie Ghostbusters? That's probably over 20 years old too, right? Okay, maybe 30, I don't know. I think it came out when Doc was young, okay? Anyway... You remember the song Ghostbusters, right? And it says, who you going to call, right? Who you going to call? And I think that's a message for us today. When times are going bad, who do we call? Do we turn to persons? Do we turn to things? Do we turn to substances? By the way, that came from the jail, directly from the jail. I was preaching this yesterday, and he says, one of the inmates says, or substances, okay? Who do we turn to? What do we turn to when things are going bad? All right. We look at the next verse, verse 2. You have made the city a heap of rubble. And it's no particular city mentioned here. It's a symbolic. It can be any city. It would apply to Babylon, right? Could apply to the Assyrian Empire. Could apply to the Persian Empire. Could apply to the Greeks, Romans, French, Germans, English, United States, okay? Can refer to any of us, right? What it's talking about is these national cities that are opposed to God. And they're in a heap of rubble. The fortified town, a ruin. The foreigner's stronghold, a city no more. So these foreign nations, completely destroyed, and they will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples like the Egyptians and the Assyrians, they will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will rever you. All people are going to worship the God of Israel. That includes the Moabites, the Ethiopians, the Babylonians, the Persians. All those who were enemies of God are eventually going to worship this God. That's quite a claim, isn't it? All right. You have been a refuge or a strength for the poor, a refuge or a strength for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. And what this is illustrating is, you remember back in the Exodus when they had the pillar of cloud by night, the pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night that they followed? And it was a guide and a protection for the chosen people. That's what it's referring to here. It goes on to say, for the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and I love this image, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners or strangers. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, the pillar cloud, okay, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. Against God's people, there's no storm that can prevail, all right? And the image here, it's a wonderful image, and it's kind of cool because we have block walls here. We know that, right? If not, just go hit it and you'll see, all right? We have block walls. Now, if there's wind blowing outside, right? It'll blow against the wall. Is it going to do anything? No. If it's raining and the rain's coming against the walls, is anything going to happen? No. Okay. They're solid, right? That's and the same with the desert heat when our air conditioning is working in here, right? The heat's outside. Is there anything they can do against these walls? No. That's the image the author's using, okay, for our God. Our God is as solid as these walls. So when evil comes, it's going to be just like the wind blowing against this wall. It's going to make a lot of noise, right? We'll hear the noise outside. But no harm's going to come upon us, right? What a wonderful image. So can enemies or bad situation overcome Christians? No. Jeremiah 20:11. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Jeremiah 32. Ah, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Matthew Henry says, there's no fortress impregnable to the omnipotence, no fort so high but the arm of the Lord can overtop it and bring it down. And he finishes by saying, and it's raining till all his enemies be made his footstool. So the bottom line is there's nothing that can overcome our God. He's strong like the walls here. God is with us, and in the end, our enemies and bad situations, they just make a bunch of noise. Just like the wind outside, all right? Just a bunch of noise. It can't hurt you. May scare you, right? But it can't hurt us, okay? Douglas Vincent shares a story that happened in April 1998. It was in the southeast of the United States, and there was a tornado that hit a certain city, and in the city there was a church, and they were having choir practice for the kids that night. And as they're having choir practice, all of a sudden a tornado hits. and the church was completely destroyed. All right? But amazingly, some of the kids were hurt, but no one was killed. The church was completely destroyed. Okay? And what was cool about it is this, thinking about these walls, okay? One little girl said, first of all, during the tornado, what the pastor did is took him into the center hallway of the church, all right? Because he felt that was probably the most secure place. So they're in this hallway, and he starts leading the kids in a song so they wouldn't be afraid. And they start singing, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And this little girl said, during the storm, she saw angels holding up the walls. And then the angels cried out and said, we need more help. And more angels came and held up the walls. All right? Oh, for us to have the vision and faith of kids, right? But that's how big our God is, right? And not one of those kids was killed. All right? It's just like the wind blowing against a wall. And that's the same for us in our situations. Amen?
Amen?
Our God is strong to save. He's mighty to save. We look at verse 6. On this mountain, which is Mount Zion, where Jerusalem's located in the temple, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food. Now, a feast here, it would be a feast like for a wedding feast, or it would be for a coronation of a king. And they're both appropriate when we're talking about end times, right? And it also, if you want to look it up later, could point to Luke 14, 15 to 24, when Jesus talks about the great wedding feast that the Lord has prepared. It's a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine. So it's not just for the Jewish people, it's for all people. And the aged wine is the best wine. So the aged wine and rich food, they're not just physical things. They're pointing to spiritual blessings, all right? The best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, on Mount Zion, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. What is the shroud? It's death. Death. Funeral shroud, you know how they cover the body, okay? Obviously, it's pointing to Christ, right? Because who else can destroy death, right? He will swallow up death forever. And the people have to be amazed at this, because death to the Jews was the great swallower, okay? You look at Psalm 19:14, it says, death will feed on them, all right? But now death is going to be swallowed up. The sovereign Lord will wipe... this is one of my favorite verses, okay? One of my favorite images. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace, the exile, and sin of all of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. And the image I have, and we're going to see this also in some other scriptures I'm going to share, is when we're crying, Jesus is there wiping our tears, all right? Almighty God is there wiping our tears, all right? And that little girl who saw the angels knows that, all right? But when will this victory happen? Hint, it is finished. When Christ died, it's already done, it's completed, right? All we have to do is embrace it. Our victory over sin, death, and the devil are completed in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15 again. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The great swallower has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Psalm 116. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to me. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Once again, remember God's perfect faithfulness, right? Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So when we're crushed and we're broken and we feel like we're completely deserted, God's there with a Kleenex. All right? How cool is that? Martin Luther says, he wants to say, this will be the fruit of the gospel, that He will remove from us every appearance of chains, and we rise with Christ. We have passed out of death into life. But he speaks of death and the things that pertain to death figuratively. The appearance of coverings, which means that all nations are wrapped up in death. From this appearance of death and from death itself and from all evils, we are set free by faith in the Word and through the Spirit. This appearance of the covering refers to death and all its evils. However, he calls it the appearance of the covering and shows that its appearance and bonds have easily been subject to Christ. It wasn't even a hassle for Jesus to defeat death. All right? So we've already entered the victory, and it only gets better. This great feast, we're invited to it. All right? I told the guys at the jail yesterday, I said, it's going to be so cool when I get to heaven, because I know you guys are going to walk up to me and say, hey, Pastor Rick, remember me? And I'll say, no. And they'll say, it's the guy with the pink towel and the stripes. All right? I'll go, oh, yeah, well, praise God, you know? But isn't that going to be the bomb? You know, we're going to see all the people we've known here and loved here. It's great stuff. We've entered that victory, though. But not all of us. We have to accept Jesus Christ, right? Emil Bonning tells the story of Bishop Philip Brooks. He's the author of O Little Town of Bethlehem. And he was very seriously ill. And they thought the illness was terminal. And he wasn't taking any visitors. But he took one visitor. His name was Robert Ingersoll. He was a famous anti-Christian propagandist. He was an atheist. And not only he wasn't an atheist who just stayed quiet. He was trying to take people away from Christianity. And the bishop said he would see this man, Robert. And he said to the bishop, he said, I appreciate this very much, especially when you aren't letting any of your close friends see you. And Bishop Brooks responded, oh, I'm confident of seeing them in the next world. But this may be the last chance to see you. Hopefully it gave him something to think about, right? Okay. But that's what it means to be a Christian, right? We know that this worship we have on Sunday, it's going to go on forever, all right? And when this life ends, we don't have to worry, right? We're all going to be up there in heaven. The final verse, in that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We have trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. And what a great way to end the lesson today, because you see this God of perfect faithfulness, right? You see this mighty God who protects us from all things, right? Who's always with us. You see this mighty God who's defeated death and wiped the tears from our eyes, okay? So what's our response? Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. Psalm 9:10, those who know Your name will trust in You, for You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek You. Psalm 13, but I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. And one of my favorites is Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. because He is trustworthy, right? So question, now I'm going to put you guys to work. Have you ever had a time when you trusted in the Lord and He saved you? Yes. Phenomenal the way the Lord has saved us, okay? I had a young man, I'll share this one story. A young man yesterday shared with me, a Latino young man. They went out shooting out in the desert and they were drinking and doing cocaine. And he had a fight with one of his partners out there, and he actually was shooting at the guy's feet and making him dance. And then eventually one of the guys took the gun away from him. But they were still drunk and stuff, and they left. And he and his friends decided they were going to go to the house and beat up this guy because the guy was bad-mouthing him when they were out in the desert drinking and doing drugs. So they were on their way to have conflict with this guy. And he said they didn't have a license plate, so the police pulled him over and arrested him. And he said, "The Lord saved me." Because he could have shot that guy or been shot. But this is a young, this guy's probably like 21, 22 years old. And he realized that God saved him by putting him in jail. And he says he thanks God for that DPS officer. Okay? We serve a mighty Lord. We can trust Him and He will save us. He always saves us. Continually. And in my case, continually. All right? But let's... Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come up and close us with a prayer here, please. Okay?
Lord Jesus, help us to remember that You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That everything comes through You. That You created all things. And that all the destruction and all the things we see that have turned to evil, someday You will come again and You will turn all of that around. Everything will be turned around. And Lord, there are many times though it's difficult to see Your hand in the middle of our world, situations of abuse and neglect and different things going on, Lord. But we know, as Pastor Rick reminded us, You are always there, and that You're calling through Your Spirit. You're calling people back to Yourself. You're gathering the remnant. You're gathering people. You're calling out in this 11th hour. You're calling out people to come to You before it's too late, to come to You, that all will be forgiven. All can come home. Home is open. The door is open. You've left the door wide open for everyone to come back to You. And that now is the time for people to come back to You, no matter how far they've strayed, because You are the faithful one. We aren't. You are the faithful one. Forgive us, Lord, for many, many times doubting Your faithfulness. For wondering where You are. And looking at circumstances and looking inward to our feelings instead of looking up. So, Lord, right now, lift up our heads. Lift up our hearts up to You, Lord. And right now. So many situations we have in our lives, let's just give them to Him now. Surrender them to the King. We've tried to fix them. We've tried to fix other people and other situations and our loved ones. We become codependent and we try to rescue them and enable them, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Sometimes we have to let our loved ones suffer the consequences for them to see, as Pastor Rick said, that man, that God is there for them. And that they have to rely on Him and not on us anymore. So Lord, help us all to take our hands off situations, not be controlling, and also not to be worried and anxious. Forgive us for the many times we forget what our coins say, "In God we trust," when we really don't. So Lord, we surrender right now to You. I surrender to You. Situations are absolutely impossible. That I don't have the answers to, but Lord, I give them to You. We give them to You. We surrender these people, these situations, our country, our world to You. We raise the white flag. We surrender. And we learn what many in AA and sober recovery have already learned, that life has become unmanageable and that we cannot solve it. and that we've learned that we can turn not to a higher power, but to you, God, the highest power, the King, to give you, turn everything over to you, to your care and control. So right now we do that.